meeting to order and just do a quick round of introductions. Start with you.
I'm Vaughn Bortleson.
Max Hale-Perrin.
Kathy Bonifield.
Beth Fraser.
Mark Ritchie.
Debbie Erickson.
David Maeda.
Gary Poser.
Grace Wachler-Rowitz.
Pat McCormick.
Thank you, everyone. First item is adoption of the minutes of our previous meeting. Can I have a motion to accept those meeting minutes?
So moved.
There second. A second? Any discussion, changes, or additions? Thanks to those of you who read it before and sent in little notes. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Our work today is the review of the recommendations drawn from the conversations, the tapes, the notes, and feedback from individual phone conversations. Want to just start with them at the top and go through them one by one. I'm assuming they'll have other members joining us as we go today, and we will go back to make sure we're getting everybody's input. And, of course, the input will go in. We'll have another draft, and, of course, we have at least one more meeting with the opportunity to go over it again if we need to, but we will make every measure necessary to make sure we have a full review and come forth with some recommendations that can give guidance based on our instructions. So let's start at the top, but just authorize another pilot. We'll take these just in the order that they're there. Because of the success of the 2013 electronic roster pilot project, the task force recommends a more comprehensive test during the 2014 election. The 2014 pilot would include a paper backup system approved by the Office of Secretary of State and remove the requirement that voters and election judges utilize duplicative processes. The pilot would also be within the same municipalities as the 2013 pilot, unless a municipality chose to withdraw from participation in the program. If a municipality withdraws from participation in the program, preference will first be given to a municipality of similar size within the withdrawing jurisdiction's county. There are no interested similar size municipalities within the original county. A similar size and geographically dense municipality can be chosen from another county. I know there were feedback and ideas on this, so let's take this first recommendation and get your thoughts, suggestions, any comments you have on this one, please.
Mr. Chair, the phrase from another county is ambiguous, whether that refers to another of the counties that already were participating in the pilot project or another from all 87 counties. If our goal is to limit the risk of trouble during a statewide election by tapping expertise that was developed in the 2013 pilot, it might be wise to limit it to those counties that were already participating. If the goal is to limit the risk just by having a cap on the number of municipalities participating, then the broader interpretation would suffice.
Reactions to that specific suggestion?
Mr. Chair, if I may, one of the reasons I think that the precincts that were selected for the 2013 election were selected was because they had elections in 2013. And I think that from the county's perspective, it may not be a terrible idea to expand. I would like to see the pilot for 2014 expanded slightly to include a little bit better geographic representation throughout the state. Right now, we have metro concentration plus two small precincts in Clay County because those cities were having elections in 2013. It might be a good idea to look at small area as far as not expanding extremely, maybe one or two more counties that would choose one or two precincts within those counties, but to get some greater diversification. I know Barb Welty had sent the email we all have in our packet today as far as looking to include a township within that so we can see how that process works, not just within a city as well.
So I hear two points being made. One is defining the language in our draft recommendations more precisely on the question of does another county mean a county that has the expertise because it's had one experience or something else. And then a second point that you're raising of possible, you could use the word small or limited expansion, but some recognition that there may be other diversification of locations that we want to include in this particular 2014 pilot. Comments on these two I would say, related but different proposals.
I would also wonder if, when we consider diversification, if we look at precincts that have high levels of Election Day registration versus low levels of Election Day registration, so we can pilot those and have a better understanding of what is required there.
Secretary Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, I just have a little more of a fundamental question, which is, what do we expect to get out of a pilot the next time that we didn't get from this time? What is it? I mean, if you're going to do a second pilot, that's just my fundamental question. What would you learn that you haven't already learned?
I had a similar question. I don't see, I didn't see the point of doing a pilot in the exact same jurisdictions in what we'd learn, other than I think we can build on our relationship with the vendors we used. But other than that, I didn't see what we are trying to accomplish by using the exact same jurisdictions and doing the exact same process, other than eliminating the paper roster as part of the process. And I guess, to Debbie's point, I think it would be nice to include other jurisdictions. I know cities in Hennepin County have contacted me with interest on electronic poll books, and it'd be nice to be able to open up to some other cities that have interest.
Great. Do you have your hand up?
Well, I didn't have my hand up, but I guess I'll answer. I guess I think there's probably a few things. Just number one, since we haven't done the process without the duplicative process, I guess there's something to be gained there to say, can we, you know, do we discover anything that happens when we haven't had that duplicative process and make sure that something hasn't fallen through the cracks that might have been there, and then basically just a higher turnout, I guess, is is the other piece. What didn't we run into? What challenged voters do we might have out there that haven't, you know, didn't come up to a book in the smaller turnout, and so those challenged voters haven't been processed in a poll book yet at all. So I guess there's some of those types of things that I think we could learn, plus also, you know, doing the downloading of the pre-registered voters and the uploading of the voting history and making sure that those things are all working properly before we get too far-fledged, I guess, would be some of my thoughts.
Mr. Chair, I also concur with Mr. Poser as far as the reason we should continue it in 2014. This will be a long, extensive process as well, and we've started it, and I think we need to continue it in some manner to keep learning, expanding on our knowledge of the technology, the pros and cons, weaknesses, consequences of this project going forward. Secondly, I am not opposed to the fact of expanding it in a limited basis. I believe that the recommendation to use existing pilots is because of the expertise that they already have that we can rely on. However, I do respect the intent to enhance the diversity of the precincts involved to get a broader sense of how it would be in various locations, geographic as well as size.
Mr. Chair, returning to my earlier points. One related point of ambiguity that I think would influence my thinking on this is that the draft refers to the 2014 election without specifying whether that's primary or general. My understanding of kind of best practices in the election field for phased deployment of new technology, not so much pilot testing as just when things are deployed, is that new technology is best deployed either in a primary election or in an off-year election rather than in a statewide general election. And so if the goal here is for the statewide general election to be the deployment point, that would argue in favor of limiting it to experienced jurisdictions that had tried it in the off year, whereas if the timeline is for the primary, then I would be more open to the idea of expanding it to additional jurisdictions where that softer launch would happen. To Senator Kiffmeyer's question about what else we could gain from another pilot, in addition to the points that were already made, I would add that I would like to see a recommendation on our list that an appropriation be made to the Secretary of State's office to commission some outside party to do a careful study of the waiting times and service times at the individual stations within the polling places for both the pilot precincts and comparable non-e-poll book precincts, so that we would gain some hard data, some numerical data that could aid counties in their capacity planning, municipalities rather, in their capacity planning going forward. We've already heard that people are very torn how many e-poll book systems to buy. They buy too many, they wreck the cost effectiveness. They buy too few, they risk being a news story. And if we had some data, you know, are voters checking in faster but then just waiting longer to cast their ballot and it doesn't really speed them up any? If we had some data on how many of different kinds of transactions, election day registration, as well as check-in and so forth, that were done per hour at different e-poll books, that would be really helpful data, and I'd like to see us commission that. And that would be definitely something where a pilot project would be different from deployment, but also different from what was done in 2013.
Keeping the focus on this first recommendation, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I missed the early comments from Senator Kiffmeyer, but I have a sense of where she was headed in her comments and would concur with those comments in that I do not support the task force recommendation draft to authorize another pilot. I'm for opening this up and allowing the communities that want to do e-poll books the opportunity to do that. I believe that we're not really talking about new technology anymore, that this technology is being done in many other states, that we have had now experience with it for several tries with regard to, you know, the early adopter Minnetonka, but now the expanded group, and having the fail-safe backup of the paper, I think protects us from some of the concerns that somebody might have with regard to if technology should fail, and I think that's important to have the backup paper there. In addition, I appreciate the comments by Mr. Halperin with regard to launching in a primary, so I think that'd be great if the jurisdictions that are interested in this begin with doing it for their primary, then they'll be that much more ready when it comes to the general election. And I just don't think of it as such a leap as some others seem to feel. To me, that this is something that's an enhancement. Should local jurisdictions want it, I think we ought to open our doors and our resources and our training to accommodate that desire, because I think it is the way that we will do elections in the future.
I apologize for being late, so I didn't hear the initial comments, but just in response to some of that, I think that the thing that we have not done is the uploading and downloading piece. We haven't got the software for that. To do the mechanical thing that we did in the pilot study was rather simple, and in that sense, sure, anybody could do that, but that's not the point of the project. And overall, the point of the project is to be able to make it convenient to have the download of the data of the pre-registered voters to the sites that they can then use, and then the upload of the data afterwards, to make this efficient and easy process for everyone along the line. Without having that software yet, without having that in line, and without giving that a try, we're not ready for prime time, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In regards to that, Representative Lane, I think, you know, I really agree with your point here about the upload and downloading. That was substantial, but no matter what, that needs to be done. So whether it's a pilot or whether it's an opening up to do that, one is a Secretary of State issue, and the uploading and downloading of that data is something that would need to be done in either case. And that is also something that can be tested even prior to, matter of fact, would need to be tested prior to an actual primary election. So that is an upload, download, an internal office matter that is purely technical in nature, but needs to be done either way.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonath, with the opening it up to any jurisdiction who would choose to do so, would you recommend doing the duplicative process of having them sign both the electronic roster and the paper roster for this time frame?
Mr. Chair, Ms. Erickson, I would for until we know that all this works. So I would have a backup the first couple times that we have big elections, because I think that gives us the certainty that our elections, you know, require.
May I follow up with that too? Mr. Chair, one other question. I know you want to take these in order, but I do know that there is a recommendation to do a builder buy analysis. And if we are going to go in that direction, from a county's perspective, in a pilot situation, you have vendors who are more willing to work with you and borrow equipment or loan equipment or work on a reduced cost factor, whatever it might be. If we open it up to any jurisdiction who wants to, most likely the vendors are not going to be willing to engage in that type of exercise. They're going to want full cost for anything that the counties would purchase. And if we then do a builder buy analysis and the recommendation comes back to build our own, the counties have now expended dollars to purchase equipment that they may not use if that's not going to be supported. So that would be my only concern with that type of circumstance instead of a pilot, of a more limited thing where we could leverage the vendors and say, we're still in the pilot circumstance, show us what you have. That would be my concern there.
I just wanted to add on in regards to Debbie, your question in regards to the dual process. I think but Senator Bonanoff and I, and I think it was in here as well, that there not be a dual process, but just that paper backup. Yeah. I just thought I wanted to clarify that is...
Okay.
Yes. Did that...
That clarifies it for me. So we're not saying that
right.
They have to do both every time.
No.
But if something happened to the poll book, we have the paper there for that particular purpose.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I guess... kind of goes back to starting with Mr. Helperin's comment about whether this pilot was expected in the November or in the August election. I think from my perspective, I read this as being the November election and being the pilot for November and not for the primary. And I guess I will just say that I think the, you know, certainly in our plans to do the upload and of the, well, the download of the pre-registered voters and the upload of the voting history, but our plans are to have that available in our versions on Labor Day, and so that was envisioned for the November election. So I guess, you know, if we're saying that they can still do it in the primary, I guess the primary would be based on the same type of process that we used in November of 2013, which I guess could still be done. It would be a manual, you know, the scanning of the barcodes to upload the voting history as well.
Well, these recommendations came from the discussion. The discussion was about the general election. So there was never a discussion about more pilots in the primary. It's just about the general. So we should just
wasn't mine. I was always thinking in our discussions that you would do this in a primary. I mean, in other times when we've done things, there's been a real value at using a lower turnout primary and then to go ahead in November. That's just what was in my mind. I don't know about anybody else's, but it certainly was in my mind to start with the primary.
Yeah, the discussion that these were drawn from was about piloting in a higher turnout so that we actually knew what same-day registration felt like, what higher volumes felt like, to be able to make some cost comparison so that counties could make some analysis. So, but anyhow, these were drawn from our discussion, but today we're having further discussion, and so, you know, take it from there.
And Mr. Chair, question for Mr. Poser with regard to that schedule, because I didn't ever see the schedule that said the downloading and uploading wouldn't be ready till Labor Day. Can you share with us why that is? Is there, because to me, given we've already piloted it in this off-year election and we got some good learnings, I would assume that those especially who did it would want to be doing it for the primary, because why would you want to go backwards if you've already done it? And so if you recall, I was pretty disappointed that we didn't make a best effort to do that upload-download for the original pilot, but, you know, I understood it seemed to be more complicated than that, but I don't understand then why we wouldn't be ready for August, why we would target Labor Day.
Mr. Chair, Senator Bonhoff, so I guess I made a few notes just on my own here of the technology things that we'll be doing prior to that. So we currently have in February here, we'll have our annual list maintenance. We're just with the purging of the people who don't vote. We're also currently preparing for the February 4th caucuses, which involves both the caucus finder and the straw poll results. So those are two of the big things we're working on right now. Our next attention goes to implementing the mail ballot module, which was authorized in last year's legislative session, and incorporating that into the absentee system. So that touches our absentee module, which is a huge undertaking. I'll just say that it's very intertwined with everything within our system, but that includes making changes to the absentee module, making changes to the voter information portal where individuals can look up their status of their absentee ballot, and it makes changes to the rosters where we currently print the ABs accepted on the rosters. We need to include now the MBs for the mail ballots onto that as well. We're implementing no excuse absentee along with that, making changes to our absentee labels. We're looking at posting the absentee voting from the accepted absentees that are currently marked within the system, which is what the counties have asked for, along with some other reports, and a large regression testing of all of that, which is expected to be implemented then by the end of May, beginning of June, before the absentee period starts. So our plate is full to get us through that. Once we're through that, then the next thing on our, I guess, my agenda was to do the e-poll book piece, which my mind thinking we were doing November is correct. Having that in September, which Labor Day is basically don't want to implement anything new once absentee voting starts in the end of June until the August primary. We don't normally put in any new versions of the system in during those heavy use time periods. And so Labor Day would then fall within there before the September absentee voting starts for the November election. So that's kind of where all of that was yeah. put into place.
Thanks. And when we started, I had 86 employees and we're down to 60. So our plate's pretty full.
Gotcha.
Thanks to cuts.
I'll just make a comment on listening to that. I was reminded of the difficulties we got into with Minsure in trying to do something faster than perhaps we had the capability to do it quite that fast. This is our elections, and there's no thing that's pushing us at the deadline that we need to have everybody up and running by January 1st or something like we had with Minsure. But if there's we want to do this right. We want to do this right, and I don't see any reason why we have a deadline self-imposed to do it any particular way at any particular time. I think we should do it as most considered as we can and get it done right.
Mr. Chair, it's been my experience in technology that often what can make or break the successful adoption of new technology is volume. And this pilot did have a pretty small volume to deal with, and in those cases things can work perfectly, but sometimes you really can't test the mettle of a technology until you have what we would call a load testing approach. And I didn't come out of the last meeting with a sense that everybody was very confident that we had learned enough in this very small pilot to just charge forward and do it. So I think something with a higher volume and some of the refinements that came out of what we learned from the very small pilot would benefit it.
I agree. I feel like we learned. The question that I feel we answered is, could we do poll books, electronic poll books? But we didn't learn, are they cost-effective? how can we make sure that we have enough poll books in some precincts? Again, what many of the points that Max had already made is we need to make sure that when we implement it, if a county comes up to us and say, well, how many poll books do you need for a precinct that has a high election day registration rate, we really don't know that information. And if we were to implement it fully, we would only find out through their success or failure. And I think that really piloting it and looking at what are the points of information we need to make sure that when we do it completely, that we're going to be successful with it. So I think looking at a time study, a cost study, more voters, a more diverse precincts, I think it's really important to consider that so that when recommendations are made, they actually are based on experience, a more robust experience than what we've had already.
One other thing, when I was looking at this, and you went through Mr. Poser went through the Secretary of State office, and you're going to do one thing I noticed from your list that was missing, though, and that is the online voter registration IT work. And so I'm looking at uploading, downloading, and some IT work that takes, and is something that the legislature has expressed its interest on. And there was also some HAVA money that was used. And so that was missing from your list.
It's done.
Pardon?
It's done.
That's why it wasn't. Well, some other things that were done were on the list, so I just was thinking.
Like, what's the other thing that was done that was on the list?
Just in the beginning of the conversation, some of the mail, I can't remember. I don't have a tape to replay or anything like that, but it just seemed like on the implementation or the going through some of those things. Anyway.
Chairman, Secretary Kivmer, I don't believe anything I mentioned was already done. I talked about doing the annual list maintenance, getting ready for the caucuses, and then going into our version of the changes that we're making for the May release, so I'm not sure what you might be referring to.
Okay, well, maybe I misheard then.
So we're talking about a lot of work for a lot of different people. There seems to be some people who don't think we should do any pilot at all. Other people think that we should do a pilot and expand it to a limited number of other places. There's some argument for full implementation, kind of a miniature, set a date, here's your time, go. We don't have to make a recommendation in this area. We could just skip over it completely, or we can see if there's a way to have a recommendation that people are comfortable with.
Well, Mr. Chair, I reject the characterization of the Minsure Association, because we all know that that has been a very painful execution. And I think that what we're talking about here is not that. We're talking about e-poll books. We did pilot it, and it was the third time Minnetonka's piloted it, and it's happening effectively in many other states. And what we're saying is to give some of us are saying to give some local control option to our jurisdictions about whether or not they'd like to use this implementation. We're not saying everybody must. It must be done by this, you know, so I don't think that that's a fair characterization. I can understand that it seems like that, given what we're all facing with regard to Minsure, but certainly I'm not for that.
Well, one thing we should probably do is pull up the big implementation articles from Prince George's County and from Denver, which were disasters of a very, very large proportion on elections on implementing poll books. Because I think the experience of those of us who implement and do elections has been very, very negative on e-poll books in the past. And the newspaper articles are especially rough in those two instances because, you know, tens of thousands of people couldn't vote. And so I think we need to have some care in looking at the historical record of this and say, this is what's happened in other places. Do we want that in Minnesota? I don't think so. That was long before all these other issues, but I don't think that the big implementations that have occurred that have been so disastrous in the public's mind are ones that we can ignore as we tiptoe into this here. It's not like we don't have a system that's not working. We have a great system. Maybe we can make it cheaper. Maybe. We don't know yet.
And in that light, anybody, as Minnetonka has shown, any area that wants to go ahead on their own can do it in the ad hoc sort of way, the jerry-rig kind of way that they did it. That's so open to anyone at this time. I'm just coming to this point now and wondering how we come to an agreement, a sense of compromise around this. I can't see how we can agree that we should just open it up now and go forward. I don't think that's feasible or acceptable to the majority on this committee. But is there anything else that would need to happen that would satisfy your concerns? As I say, anybody who wants to venture forth in this area, as Minnetonka did, may do so at this time, in my understanding. Can we then proceed with the project in a little bit more expeditious or judicial way?
Mr. Chair, I would concur with those comments that we need to find that solution. I think you were right on target at pointing out that concerns about potential for a disaster are ones that predated any particular issue that's in the news currently. I certainly had voiced from the get-go. I think, you know, every software engineering curriculum contains some standard disaster stories from a variety of application domains where things have been pushed too far too fast and the results have been bad, and we want to avoid being another of those. The suggestion I would make for a compromise is that we do take this path of recommending that a few more pilot sites be added to those who have the prior experience, that they be chosen in a way that enriches our data set, for example, with high election day registration precincts or that sort of thing, townships, whatever we're missing currently, and that we recommend some sort of a mechanism for expertise sharing or mentoring or something, that they be partnered with the municipalities that have already gained experience, and that there be some, you know, sharing or training kind of thing, so that they can piggyback on what was learned by those jurisdictions.
Mr. Chair, I would agree with what Mr. Halperin's saying. I think that it's always important to add a new dimension if we're trying to make improvements, and so to add some other jurisdictions would make some sense. But I also feel that approaches where it's more of a big bang or, you know, people taking everybody and that wants to participate at this point is maybe premature.
Mr. Chair, I also concur. Done many pilots technologically, and it makes sense to be cautious and expand and do various levels. Particularly, respectfully, I do understand that a lot of jurisdictions and other states have implemented this, but Minnesota is unique. Mm-hmm. We have unique laws, unique best practices, procedures, and we need to really examine how we're going to implement that within our own realm of statutes and rules, particularly with chain of custody, how it's going to impact it with our new no-excuse ABs, how that's going to impact how it's going to be in the polls. We don't even know how many people are going to exercise that right with the no-excuse absentee, so we'll have less in the polling location. There's a lot of ifs yet. So I encourage us to go a little bit slower and expand on a pilot this year, and we will have the data to make a sound decision.
David, what do you think?
Well,
I agree with much of what Grace said, and going back to Debbie's point about our leverage over the vendors, you know, using a pilot project, I think one of my concerns is that if we took what we used in 2013 with any of the vendors and then put that in a major election in a big precinct, I don't think it's going to work. I think there are going to be problems because I don't think any of the systems we saw are quite ready because of our Minnesota laws. They came up with solutions that fell within the law, but they didn't come up with solutions that made the process better. Mm-hmm. So I think if we put what we saw in 2013 in a big precinct, it's not going to work. And I don't see the vendor, what would motivate a vendor at this point to take it much further, knowing that they may in the end not get any business in Minnesota. So I don't see what motivation they would have at this point. So I don't know if we have much leverage at this point over a vendor. And so I'm still skeptical about the purpose of doing a pilot in 2014.
Debbie?
Mr. Chair, David, so you're saying that regardless of the vendors that were used, your opinion is that none of them are ready to accommodate us for a high-level election?
Correct.
So, in your opinion, does that leave us dead in the water?
It does not leave us dead in the water. The one thing that I hope our task force can come up with some type of recommendation, because I think we do have some momentum here. Mm-hmm. I would like to see us continue so we get to a point where we can actually use poll books. And to not to sidestep your question, but Senator Bonoff's comment and Secretary Ritchie's response to that, I guess I'm kind of in Senator Bonoff's court in that this is not new technology that, I mean, we're not creating something brand new that other jurisdictions aren't using. And I don't think it'd be wise for any of us, whether we do a pilot or if we go ahead and just start using it, to implement something widespread in 2014. I think we would take baby steps still to get there, but I'm not sure what that is at this point.
Mr. Chair. So I think to that point that really, if we worked with Minit, you know, to do this buyer build and really supported their efforts to give us the right package, that there's nothing in law that says people, as long as the software was developed to do the upload-download, there's really nothing that would prevent jurisdictions from doing it, right?
There, that would be up to the legislature.
But there's nothing currently in law, no, that would prevent it?
I don't know if that's... It depends on which poll book we're talking about, and, you know, it depends on what we're talking about.
Senator Bonoff, yeah, well, Mr. Maeda is case in point that has shown that, indeed, he does have the local authority as far as the processing and doing these things, as long as it complies with state law and does all of those things, which he has done, has proven it so. And so it would be a very new thing if the legislature would say, no, you can't. That would be a really amazing thing. But I think one of his biggest issues was in managing his own jurisdiction was not being able to get the full value because of the upload and the download, or download and upload, go the right way here. That was a particular hindrance. So I don't think you want to take anything away from any local jurisdiction that's already documented and proven their freedom and their right and their ability to do that. I think what we want to do is take steps forward to support that. And I think one of the biggest hindrances, which, again, no matter which way we go here, the upload and the download is still a key component of that and would still be on track for the November election. And then the other additional question is whether we want to, you know, the pilot or that status. Well, many times on these local units of government, they have relationships and they can make some of these choices that I don't know we have to micromanage all of that, because I think they're quite experienced, knowledgeable, and some pretty effective people already that have proven themselves and done some of these things. And those that would have a situation, maybe they don't, that's still their choice not to. That's nothing's being pushed upon them in this regard.
guess one of the questions that I have is, if we move forward with a builder buy analysis, are vendors going to look at that and say, well, there's a threat here, they may not go with my product at all, so it's not worth continuing to invest to make the changes that are needed to accommodate Minnesota law? And so if there's not a pilot in 2014, I'm worried that there won't be any poll book use in 2014, because local jurisdictions won't want to invest their own funds in technology that may ultimately be decided it shouldn't be used. And so I'm worried without a pilot, we do the builder buy analysis, but everything kind of stagnates in the process and we lose momentum that we've built.
Mr. Chairman, doesn't that kind of happen no matter what? I mean, I don't know that that's something we can control. I mean, the fact that it's in our draft, which my understanding, this is a working draft, so that's the whole point, is not set in stone that I have to take it or leave it, that we can have this healthy, and it is a very healthy discussion and much valued and appreciated. But I think they see this, they know too, they kind of see that already, so I don't know. But again, I'm more on the basis of our local jurisdictions have some relationships. There may be a desire for them to say, well, let's help be a little more competitive so they don't do the build, that they do make a choice of buying, and they have an opportunity by working with a local unit to shine, you might say. They may be, I can't speak for them, I don't know, but that's the relationships, I think, that may happen, and I don't know for sure, but I think the mere fact that it's already here has already kind of affected that anyway. I don't think they're going to be fooled if we just say we're just going to do a pilot one more time. I think they're quite well aware of that.
Mr. Chair, to Ms. Fraser's point, one possible approach would be to legislatively direct the Secretary of State's office to do the upload download, which you're doing anyway, but that would make sure everybody knew we were going forward, and to direct Minute to do the build and buy analysis. So that would be the signal to the community that this is serious. Seems to me those are the two pieces that would give jurisdictions the opportunity to go forward.
I would wonder, in this draft recommendation, it talks about funds being appropriated for the pilot, and I think that that would be a piece of motivation for local jurisdictions to do this, kind of based on your point. So if it weren't a pilot, are you recommending that funds be appropriated for e-poll books?
Well, I've been trying to get reactions to Max's proposed compromise in the midst of this, and so if we took this into deeper other waters, it may not get us any further, and lunch will be upon us. So, my job is to see if we can find in this first area some description of what might happen in November of 2014. What does that roughly look like? And if we can get into that, then we can back into some of these other discussions. I don't think we can care about what the companies think or do. I just think we have to focus on what we're going to do, and, you know, we work with these companies, and those that shined last time around may shine again next time around, whenever that is, and those that didn't do so well might do better, but, you know, we don't have a lot of leverage on them.
Mr. Chairman,
in regards to the funding aspect, you know, the pilot, that's a legislative thing, and Senator Bonhoeff and I don't know how much of an impact that has or what the interests are there, and then you run into how do you distribute it and how do you work through some of that. But I think it is something that can certainly, I mean, any of these things are certainly still a discussion. I think this is our first day of kind of actually having a little, and so maybe, I'm not sure just what's all there, but some of these jurisdictions have, especially with the download and the upload, have some pretty significant savings that can accrue to them almost on an immediate basis. So there may be some trade-offs here. I'm not sure. That's really a local decision as to their return and value on that sort of a thing. That is a dynamic that has certainly been communicated before.
Mr. Chairman, I guess my one thought would be, you know, if we do move forward with the build-buy analysis, that if nothing occurs this fall, so if people don't get a vendor to work with them, or that we really lose some information, that if the decision was to build, I think we'd want as much experience as we could with finding out any issues, mm-hmm. so that those issues would be taken care of in the build actual process that would occur, I would assume, after the 2014 election. So I guess my only piece is that I'd like to make sure that whatever we come up with here gives us some experience in November, that somebody is moving forward with doing something, and that we just don't have a lull with nothing happening and not gaining any more experience. So if we did a build, we wouldn't have any more information and not maybe build as well as we could because we didn't have that information.
Yeah.
Well, I find that very interesting, because I'm starting to think, as we were having the, before you spoke of, do we just let this happen organically? let those who want to try it and try it go forth, and then and as we analyze it from the top end, build or buy, do then somehow either those come together? Or it just seems to me that we need some of a little bit more of a, starting with the point that it's not broken now. Might this save us some money? Then we could probably look at it in more in the way that Gary just said, build it, go forth and get more experience, and at the same time that we're doing these other things, so that two have a way of coming together rather than just sort of letting it be organic somehow.
Well, Mr. Maid, I always tend to kind of put you on the spot a little bit because you're a person in the room, the only one that I can really ask this of. I know that you have a deeper experience with having done this before. Just for you alone, is this something that, is there an idea here? My one thing, I think, Mr. Chairman, is that I would agree in the sense of at least having maybe something on a little bit of an official basis, and yet allowing others as well on their own to not hinder anything, because it's only going to contribute that much more. So if a local jurisdiction says, hey, I just want to do it on my own because I see a value or I want to do this, that's certainly the ability to do that. But having some jurisdictions or some sort that could be also be in a part of that kind of that official type of a thing where we document maybe or do something. But then you get into a lot of who and what. But I guess just like we did this time, I think we could do so again.
So what
I don't think that's necessarily maybe mutually exclusive, I guess.
What I hear in your recommendation is that there should be some official aspect of this, so it can be studied kind of apples to apples, so that data on cost and other things can be developed, and that's probably those with the experience already and a few others, and we've had Barb Welty recommended, and Debbie spoke about this, and perhaps there's high volume and some other characteristics that we're interested in, mm-hmm. and there's making sure that nothing happens that stops somebody else who wants to experiment, as David has done, from doing whatever they, you know, can conceivably do, but keeping our attention on creating a not much bigger, but of course the number of voters will be much, much bigger because of the nature of the general election, and having that be able to be studied, so that would be an additional recommendation, to be studied really in a way that the analysis of what the cost and other benefits might be could then be used for a design-build stage.
Mr. Chairman, To add on to that, and Mr. Maeda didn't get a chance to really respond to Secretary Kiffmeyer, Senator Kiffmeyer, so I would want to hear him, but I think you did a great job just kind of pulling all that together. But I would also want to make sure that there was language that said any jurisdiction that wanted to participate would have access to the upload, down, you know, the same access that our beta tests would have, that they would have that access as well. So I wouldn't want to have any barriers to their full participation, whether or not we were studying them or not.
And Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonhoeff, once that was programmed, it would be available to all counties, so I don't think that part would be a hindrance. I guess part of that just goes to whether or not, you know, if we really, how far we want to go. If all 87 counties wanted to do it for everybody, you know, I guess, is there a concern that if something does happen, we've got it happening all over the state and not only in a few specific pieces. So I don't know if there doesn't still need to be, we have our test precincts or our study precincts, but, you know, are we really going to say that we would allow it to go to all 4,000 precincts in one fell swoop if it went that far? I'm not so sure and comfortable saying we'd let all 4,000 of them do it.
Yeah. And on my last general election, of course, I'm not interested in a big meltdown, and I doubt the House members who are up for office election are interested in a big meltdown. There's a kind of a reality component to IT stuff that I hope the Daily Newspapers is helping, but I want to make sure we're not forgetting how complex this is. David, people are asking for your response. You don't have to respond, so.
No. Well, to that, the last point, I doubt that I have enough confidence in my colleagues in the election administration field that I don't think everyone would want to implement it. And it'd go statewide. I can't see any scenario where that would occur. To the idea that there'd be a select number of precincts that would be studied, I think that is a good compromise. And if other jurisdictions want to go ahead outside that study, if they have the option to do the upload-download, I think that also is a good compromise.
Mr. Chair, regarding opening it up that others could participate, I would ask that we recommend that the same requirements that are our next discussion topic would apply as well for those then. Are we in the general area of a compromise?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we just need to kind of, I think on a kind of a conceptual basis, I think we've kind of been there. One of the things that I think an openness to seeing the framework, I guess we would call it, an outline of something that I think might be there. One of the things that I was wondering, I know that on the upload, download, and some of these sorts of things, very frequently there can be a mock-up, you might say, or a stress test, or a process by which. But I would agree that would agree with in regards to making sure that you have a reasonable effort and kind of doing that. On the other hand, it's upload download. It's fairly like that. But I am sympathetic to that and want to be sure. But I would agree with Mr. Maeda in regards to the high unlikelihood that you would maybe have that. But if there's some sort of piece in there that we can help be helpful in that regard to make sure it's kind of a structured thing that you know who is, that there's some sort of testing and that you have the resources for some of that testing on a regular basis, I think that's a reasonable thing. One of the things that I have a concern about here is on the very last paragraph, and I don't know where we're at anymore in the whole. Mm-hmm. I know you've tried to make it methodical to go through, and we haven't always cooperated with that. But at this point, on the last paragraph, instead of providing grants to counties to build their own systems, that's the first that I recall that we're seeing something here where we might do something like that, because I kind of thought there was, at least in regards to if we did a build, that the greatest value comes from a system. I mean, be like SVRS, giving grants to counties to each develop their own SVRS. There's, I think, one of the value of the Minnesota system, which was started long before either of us, was in having a state-level system when it came more to kind of the software thing. So if we were on the build-or-buy analysis, I'm a little bit confused as to why now we would go to grants to counties to build their own. That doesn't seem in keeping with other things, so I'm not quite sure. Maybe somebody can explain where that might be coming from.
I think it's some too broad a language. I think there was the notion of providing grants to counties so they could participate. But I...
Mr. Chairman, yeah. I guess I'll make a few comments on that. I think part of the giving the grants is, from my perspective, a part of if the build-buy analysis comes back and says, no, the state's not going to build anything, that there's a buy piece there. Is there some value in having some counties do their own a build that one might not have very many bells and whistles, maybe is working with iPads and that type of a framework. Somebody else doesn't want to use iPads or tablets, but they're more interested in laptops. And are they, if the state builds or buys, are we going to require that that is the only poll book that they can use, or are they going to be able to use any vendors' programs, or are they, or could the counties build their own, and is there some value in having counties experiment with different types of platforms that then, if they did build them, they could share that with for free, that software could be then used by any other county that liked the method that they particularly came up with. So I think part of that comes into the discussion that we should have about build or buy of, is if we build, if the decision is to build, does that mean that that's going to be exclusive and nobody else can use anything else? Because to me, that's part of what would justify a build from the state's perspective, is that everybody would use it. You know, they might not be required to use an e-poll book, but if they used an e-poll book, that's the one they would have to use. And if we're not going that way, then is there value in having some other options out there?
Mr. Chair, it seems to me that we wouldn't want to prescribe that in here. I totally get where you'd, put that in case that scenario, but rather you'd want to give the authority and accountability to Minute to make that kind of recommendation. And so I would think that wouldn't be in our particular recommendation, because it seems to me that we are going to do best as a state when we can allow the experts to run with that.
I agree. We're jumping way to the end and whatever, but in general terms, I totally agree, and it's easy to just take that line out. But are we in a general area about a kind of expanded pilot that has the capacity to be studied carefully, that then we would come back to you with a description? Are we in that area? Because Max's next point was that the following requirements would apply to whomever was part of that apples-to-apples participation. And I want to move to that if we're close enough that we can move to that. I see some heads nodding. Mm-hmm. Max, you made this point because you like these requirements, or you just wanted to make sure it was consistent?
Mr. Chair, some of each. I do like them. I would add a couple to them.
Speak up.
The first area I would add would be something specifically addressing reconciliation and auditing of the paper that prints out from these. You may recall that some years ago we had a dispute over the meaning of the language that was then in the statute about election judges on election night counting the voter receipts or signatures, and whether that allowed the counting of unsigned voter receipts, and that was clarified that it now has to be signed voter certificates or names entered in the election register. Similarly, I suspect, though counsel would be expert on this, that you would have to parse the current statutory language pretty carefully to know whether an election judge on election night would be allowed to just look at a grand total number displayed on the screen of their e-poll book and say, that's how many names were entered in the election register, or whether they're required to manually count the signed voter printouts that are called for. I would suggest that we ought to make that clear and explicit in our recommendation that what we're calling for is a continuation of the current practice of manually counting signed paper at the conclusion of the polling. Likewise, the current statutory language just calls for determination of the number of voters registering on election day. Doesn't say anything about how that's done. Currently, the way that's done is by counting the voter registration applications on pieces of paper. I would like to see our recommendation specify that that practice continue, that a count from the poll book software would not be an acceptable substitute for that, and that there be a duty then on the county auditor to reconcile that number from the election judges with the number of uploaded applications that are processed and investigate any discrepancy, as well perhaps as some, you know, Secretary of State provided system of spot checking the content of the uploaded voter registration applications against paper applications that are printed out. Because if they're printing out and they're just going in a file cabinet somewhere and no one's ever looking at them, that's not much of a safety check.
So I hear you making, liking the ones that are there and making three recommendations. One is to continue the incorporation of the reconciliation using the paper product that's available. The second is the incorporation of the paper in the voter registration as part of the reconciliation of that particular number. And the third was some element, like we now have the post-election audits, that we would have some form of randomly selected spot checking for auditing purposes of the overall reconciliation process that the county, in this case, county auditors would be doing.
Specifically with regard to the election day registrations, and that routinely the number could be checked.
Yeah.
I think you've got those three, and then those all fall under reconciliation and auditing. There's a fourth one I would add, kind of different in form, which is that the 2013 language specified that the printouts be retained for periods stipulated in statute currently. I would add to that the Secretary of State's office ought to issue corresponding technical rules that require the longevity of the printouts to correspond, that they would remain legible for that period so that we don't have problems with disappearing thermal prints.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with having our task force recommend in such detail the process rather than directing that some process be developed, because, you know, Max has expertise. I don't have that expertise. I don't know if that's the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do in terms of the audit, and I trust him, but there might be other people around the table who aren't around this table, but who are experts in some of these that might have additional suggestions. And so I'm just wondering if our group could provide a more broad framework of recommendations, and one of them being to develop specific audit-related best practices rather than to do that in this format.
Well, so this is a list of the sort of requirements for the use in a pilot, and it seems like you're suggesting that in two contexts. One is in this context, but the second in the context of sort of development of best practices more writ large, that we take a more general general approach. So I just wanted to clarify, these are one for the next pilot, the second for a more generalized approach.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, in this particular area, I think Max verbally, Mr. Halpin verbally, gave a few more details, but I think his general statement of the reconciliation and all of that, I think is a good clarification. And I think some of the other details maybe, but I think those were just verbal add-ins that were very constructive and thoughtful. But I think you can still take his big picture ideas like the others were and put them in here and it'll be just fine. Because I think he does. I think when we observed the pilot this year, we were all struck with the different systems and the ones that had that easier way of doing that reconciliation. Were very beneficial, and some of them had some very simple ways to accomplish that I think really liked and I think is valuable to include here.
Great.
I do have a comment on a different one, but I'll wait until we're done with
anything
this.
Anything on this?
Mr. Chairman, just to summarize Mr. Hilprin's points, I mean, I really do think our existing statutes kind of do cover basically the things
so we don't need to debate
about
it.
There.
So we don't need to debate statute.
I'm comfortable
here
with what he said. If it's in there or not, I think our current statutes kind of
and
pretty much already do that.
I think that same point that our statutes, our process that we currently have, cover what he's saying, regardless of what system you're using, that's required to be done anyway. So I think that you're exactly right on, Gary. I would hate to see us develop additional requirements and restrictions based on one type of system that maybe wouldn't apply to other areas as well.
So we're...
I think it's okay to include it. I don't think there's no harm done, just like some of these others, too. I think we're
these
task
are
force. That's
about the pilot. I think it's been good to clarify that there's sort of best practices, which is a developmental thing. There's this pilot. There's also the question of what's in statute and, you know, all taking a lot of care with all of these things. Mm-hmm. Are we on track here?
I think it's just a good thing to include.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, on number four, or if we have another one I'd like to mention. Number four, and I'm not quite sure if this had been in there before, but maybe I just didn't notice it, but allow an election judge to edit data that was populated from a scanned driver's license or ID card. Mm-hmm. Editing data that is from a scanned DL. There must be something a little more to this because... Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think Senator Kiffmeyer, what this is getting at is if somebody has a driver's license plus a utility bill, a second proof of residence, if you scan that driver's license, it would bring up the information such as address and information for...
But they have a change of address.
This would allow for that election day registration information to be changed, the address changed, but would still allow for that driver's license to be scanned.
Okay.
Maybe we could edit that to say that the data that could be changed would be
for
voters' address. Yeah.
For election day registration purposes.
Well, editing to me is a little different than I think the word is just more of updating.
Data. So noted.
Yeah. It's more of an updating than a editing.
Yeah.
Editing appears like you are doing something to it on your own, but you're updating.
Yeah. So noted. Mm-hmm. Other items? Data security requirements for the pilot. There was quite a bit of discussion about this at the last meeting, but everyone's concerned about data security in particular more recently.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
To the last sentence, I understand the concern of not allowing a connection outside the polling place, but one of the things I'm intrigued with this technology is in our current process, absentee ballots that come in at the last minute, we have to update the rosters. And I see great benefit of being able to do that over a wireless network. And so I understand the security concern, but I would like to see if that works. And another piece that the vendors this year pointed out that we didn't use at all was there was some ability in some of the products to do like instant messaging over the textbooks or poll books. And so I, in City Hall, if I had something I had to distribute to all my 23 precincts at the same time, I could send them a message via the poll books. And I think that would be a huge benefit to be able to do that. So I don't want to totally restrict connections outside the polling place.
And Mr. Chair, if I may just point out, that was also a concern or a suggestion recommendation from Ramsey County from their report of that process was The ability to update the absentee piece with the supplemental reports was very cumbersome when the vendor actually had to go to each location and make that upload. If it was something that could be done wirelessly, that would be a benefit as well.
I concur with the recommendation to limit or expand, I should say, to that communication process. When I originally read that sentence, I was under the understanding that based on past conversations, it had to do with live, real-time information where it was networked through the Secretary of State, et cetera. So I think when I looked at that, I'm going, yeah, it should be localized within the jurisdiction. But the communication of the jurisdiction to the polls, I think, is key for the reasons noted.
So I hear...
Question?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, the concern I would raise is that networking outside the polling places not only increases security concerns, but also reliability concerns. And this connects also with Commissioner Parnell's earlier remark about testing things under full-scale load and seeing problems arise that don't arise in smaller deployments. If we have a few individual precincts operating at their full even-year general election load, and the systems are operating independently in each precinct, will basically be doing a full load test of the same load that they would be experiencing in all 4,000 precincts if they were deployed that way. But if we're talking about any communication component, the only way we're going to test full load is by having all the precincts online. We would be learning new things again when we brought the rest of the precincts online. And I'm not sure we ever really want to be in a position where the only way we learn is when the price of that learning might be really painful.
Mr. Chair, I was going to ask Commissioner Parnell what she thought about the security issues with regard to what David's saying.
Well, I'm a little... maybe not understanding why you would use a poll book to communicate with your other precincts. I'm kind of missing that piece there when there are many, many mechanisms for communicating outside of networking this system. So maybe you can help me understand what I'm missing there.
Yeah, Commissioner Parnell, currently we do supply each precinct with a cell phone. But I would, and we've done this many, many, many years, and I would say after all these years, there are still a handful of precincts I can never get a hold of because they can't figure out the cell phone. So it's and we also send out, in Minnetonka, we have four wards, and we have four judges specifically that are assigned to each ward that can roam, and that's way we can communicate too. The example I can think of actually occurred, I think, in 2010 during the primary. It was whenever we had the first August primary in our state, and we had bad weather that day, and there was severe weather in our area, and I wanted to get a consistent message out about our judges having some type of plan to move voters to a safe place in the polling place if needed. And to do that, we had to call each 27 precincts and give them a consistent message so we weren't causing undue alarm. To have the ability to send out some consistent message to each one of our polling places simultaneously, I think that's something I need, and I would like to see that be available.
Just to follow up on that, I would remark that the counties and the local governments have developed some expertise in emergency communication software ways so you don't make 20 calls, you make one call and it goes 20 places, or you send one text and it goes 20 places or whatever, and that same technology could be deployed. It seems, I think Commissioner Parnell's point, that this could be a separate parallel communication system that's distinct from the poll book system is a wise one, because it provides a firewall, it provides a way that if something goes wrong, it disrupts your communication, but it doesn't disrupt your election.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair,
yeah.
I guess I would be interested in Commissioner Parnell's concerns from the standpoint of updating the absentee piece, which I feel is even more important than the communication piece. We have communication things in place in some areas, and some places don't, but that's a local area that they may have to figure out a better way to deal with that. The uploading of the supplemental absentee piece would be more of my consideration or my concern.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't have an opinion about whether that should happen or not. What I was asked about, what were the security ramifications, and always the more networking you have, the more security needs you have. So we can design the security around any of the functionality that you want to have in this system, but it does get a little more complex as you expand the connectivity. So
I know that in other states and deployments, of course, they do the last loading in a big room and they do it wirelessly and then they go out. But as long as we have allowing absentees that arrive until the last part of the day, we're going to have the next day double check no matter what. And the reaction of the public to the notion of networked would be something to observe and watch from a distance, but it would be tremendous. So I myself don't feel very comfortable going too far out and saying, you know, I mean, I can imagine, you know, this is about a pilot that we begin to look into these other mm-hmm. other areas. But in terms of the pilot, I think trying to be really specific so that people aren't nervous about this. No photos used in the e-poll books?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
May I make a comment in regards to the networking piece? As a compromise or as a consideration, particularly with No Excuse ABs coming aboard, we're going to have a lot of updates to our database in the polls as far as who has voted absentee on the day of election. And I respect and understand the connectivity of not doing it electronically over the wirelessly or whatever, but would it be a compromise or consideration that there be some type of protocol that a flash drive can be uploaded at headquarters and that would be deployed so that that data gets to the polls and it's accurate and efficient and as quick as possible, because I'm concerned about how we're going to be able to update that on election day.
And Mr. Chair, just to Ms. Lubach-Larowitz's point, I think that is also part of our plan for the September release, including for the e-poll books, is to get some type of an electronic version of our absentee supplement report, which is what they currently use, to get some type of an electronic piece. But I guess in my mind, I was envisioning that would be some type of a, you know, a little piece.
But that is a new requirement for the vendors to be able to program, or is that already in the system? So it would be already included in the minimum requirements? Mm, I guess that's where I was concerned.
Is it part of number one?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
We'll just make sure that's clarified.
Yeah. I was going to say, too, yeah. The way this is written is actually allows you to do that, because it says it can't be connected to any device outside of the polling place. So if you had a flash drive brought into the polling place mm-hmm. by an accredited person, it's mm-hmm. done inside the polling place.
I agree. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that whatever technology or vendor that is mm-hmm. deploying this, that it's programmed to accept an updated flash drive. Mm-hmm. And not wipe out the previous data, or, you know, the
gotcha.
Protocols are in place.
Can I just comment on that? I don't know if that should be a requirement. It certainly would be anybody wanting to purchase it on a large scale would want that, but I don't know if we'd want to exclude a vendor from if they're capable of manually, so they have a report with one name on it. Is it easier for that one just to be updated from the manual report versus having to take it electronically? So
this feels too deep in the weeds for my taste. Please.
Agreed.
Thank you. No photos used in e-poll books?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I wanted to ask Ms. McCormick, if I could. We've had some discussion about this before, and the two interests, I have a couple interests here. One is in vouching and Election Day registration, where I feel that there are some concerns that we may have there, where you have that. And then the other thing is the technical piece of it in regards to, again, downloading, uploading, some other things like that. And I had recalled, though not absolutely recalling, what you had said about the technical ability, because I know you're in the midst of some changes. So sometime in the future there may be this, and it could be some sort of part, especially on those jurisdictions that maybe have an official pilot. But would you just comment again kind of where you're at on the photo piece?
Well, Mr. Chair and Senator Kiffmeyer, I think what we've talked about is the fact that electronic images we do have available. The issue is the security involved with the photo images, and also with the fact that my understanding is there are places throughout the state where there may not be the connectivity that would allow for them to be electronic, and that any paper copies would be of concern to us, that they would be secured and that they would only be, that we wouldn't have that auditing ability to see who is looking at photos and that kind of thing. So I think that's our biggest concern, would be security and ensuring the proper usage of the photos if the photo images were part of the poll books. So that's the concern we've raised before, is to, there would also need to be notification to everyone that their images would be available. So you have a Tennyson warning. There's a lot that goes into allowing the photos to be used in the photo images. So those would be some of our concerns that we have talked with the Secretary of State's office before. All voters would have to be notified that those photos would be available and who would be using them. Obviously, those are our major concerns with the photo images.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to have that, and that's pretty much what I'd heard you say before, just that it's been a while, and I want to be sure in case anything had changed. That's on the DPS legal side. I'd also mention, though, on the other side, not as a matter of a legal photo or something, that but more of a documentation file. And when this was demonstrated to me in my office, Mr. Secretary, before, and you had demonstrated that the ability of the e-poll books. Matter of fact, I happened to be with helping somebody in a medical office, and they actually had a little stand with a little, looked like a big eye, you might say. It was just there and pointed to it. And because I was assisting somebody who was in a guardianship situation, they just took a photo at the same time and connected that file, connected that to the record, you might say, which I really appreciated because, of course, I thought it was an interesting situation, and it was a very simple, you know, in other words, sometimes you can have this little, like a phone thing, where you have it there, but in this particular case, it was a similar situation, which is on a little stand, and accomplished that. It was a very interesting, looked like very simple technology. So at the time that had been demonstrated in my office with you, it was more something that was attached to like a laptop, and you'd have that visually there, and you would be able to take a picture of the voucher and the vouchee, I guess, together as a matter of record or as a matter of documentation not being connected to anything with DPS, but just as a matter of doing that. So that was demonstrated at that time. And so I've retained an interest in that sort of thing. And on this pilot, on those particular ones that we maybe use, that would be designated that official pilot or something like that, or even a narrower one, or something else like that, might this be tried?
Well, it seems like it's not in the realm of the e-poll book. So this particular line is about the e-poll books. And so your suggestion is about a mechanism having to do with vouching that's a different issue than e-poll books. Seems like this is for the legislature to discuss. But in terms of the e-poll book, I was trying to be really specific about that. And this, I thought this was more or less what we agreed. And maybe the legislature should consider other voting law changes, and that would be a, you know, up to the legislature to do.
Well, Mr. Chair, the photographs were definitely part of the purview of the task force. That's what it was, actually the whole, you know, one of the biggest points. And I was the strongest proponent of using the photographs, and then
for the e-poll books.
Right.
Okay, and so do you agree with this line?
What, that I don't think we're ready. I don't think we have to, at this time, photos are not recommended. Yeah, I think.
Okay, thank you. I mean, this, I'm trying to really narrow.
Right, but I'm just saying I wouldn't just throw out unequivocally if Senator Kiffmeyer is proposing
something about vouching, which is really not about e-poll books. So what is, do you have a, at this time, photos are not recommended to be incorporated into e-poll books. Agree, disagree?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would say that when you are using an e-poll book in Election Day registration, part of Election Day registration is vouching. There is definitely a nexus here for vouching because it is part of Election Day registration. I mean, that is just a function that is occurring as well. I'm just saying that I think the way this is stated, it's categorical. I don't know that there isn't a piece of it that might be useful.
As a practical matter, I don't think this is relevant to e-poll books for this 2014 pilot, because there's just no way that any vendor would incorporate a brand new, totally different functionality into their system while the builder buy analysis was still underway to document these pairs of photos. It's not a functionality that they have anything even resembling currently in their systems. So if we asked for it, we would get zero bidders.
And if I could add, what we're talking about is changing vouching for some voters and not all voters. So it'd only be the people that had e-poll books that we're discussing. So what you're saying is the legislature should decide if all vouched voters should have photographs taken. I think that the sentence as it is should remain, because we don't want to have two different types of election law applied to voters here in Minnesota.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate the discussion and that we've done so, but I don't know that at this time is enough of a caveat, but, you know, this is just a draft, so we'll see.
The legislature should appropriate funds to offset the cost of a 2014 e-poll book pilot project for local election officials. Max had made a suggestion that this include an element of a study.
Right.
We're discussing money.
Mr. Chair, I agree with Mr. Halperin's statement on that. I think it would be very beneficial to find out really what is the cost benefit of e-poll books, and the only way to know that is to compare data from those who do and those who don't, and in a real heavy election or regular election.
And Mr. Chairman, the mm-hmm. only way you can have a real true that, you can't just focus on election day, because as we all know, the data entry and some of the other pieces of that go with this. So only if this were including through the whole process.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
engage in a build or buy ePullBook software analysis. And I think that we've noted the confusion that comes with the discussion of the options and all of that, but the sentiment is getting Minute to do this in consultation with the county election officials. Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, I just want to stress that it is done in partnership with the Secretary of State, so we're here to serve you in any way that would help, so I'm fine with this language.
Question. When we had the preliminary discussions, Commissioner Parnell, I had assumed that Minute would be the lead agency, and I was informed that you prefer to have the business unit be the lead and you service that business need. Is that the words you would use, or it just seemed to me that Minute with the expertise would be the lead, but can you clarify that?
Mr. Chair, Senator, in this particular case, I think it's a little bit tricky because the Office of the Secretary of State is not included in IT consolidation, so we don't have the same kind of authority over the IT and the business needs of the Secretary of State are meeting those needs, so I think it calls for a little differentiation there. So we would follow the Secretary of State's lead in their request based on what they saw as the business requirements to do a build or buy analysis. Otherwise, if it were, an executive branch agency, we would sort of just automatically do that build or buy based on conversations with that agency and what they needed. So this is it's a little different in terms of what our role is.
Looking at the deadline for this, February 2015, knowing that we would be doing a pilot and learning from that pilot in November, is that deadline reasonable or not?
Well, actually, I had looked at adding some language that the build-buy analysis would be done using some of the data from the 2014 pilot, in particular, with the recommendation that there be some real cost-benefit study and some even efficiency analysis, I think. So I appreciate that you bring that up. I think that is probably pushing it a little bit.
Is it better to not be specific, to say provided to the legislature in 2015 and be more careful with this?
I would prefer that. I think since we are going to be working closely with you, whatever the Secretary of State office has to say about those timelines is of equal importance.
And Mr. Chair, to that point, if the pilot in 2014 is part of this analysis, I would suggest that the League of Minnesota Cities should be included in the consultations. Since the city's input is going to be invaluable, I would suggest.
Agreed?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Mr. Chairman, the concern legislatively, though, is if you do your report too late, it foregoes then the action of the 2015 legislature. Mm-hmm. And so I think you can do a lot of build-buy analysis with the 2013 knowledge and experience, especially in regards to that. I think we gained a lot. And then certainly incorporate the November. But my concern is by going too much further beyond, it says February here, that could be February 28th. Could be March 1st. I mean, if you would prefer to just say March, but that's the reason why I would have a concern about putting it off too far, because then you lose that opportunity in that session, and that's a key session because that is our budgeting funding session.
It's a big job, so.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it also sort of depends on if there is money appropriated for a third party to help you with that 2014 cost-benefit analysis. Some of what we do is really dependent on how long that study takes. So it's difficult to commit to a time. Would it be acceptable to say, within the legislative session of 2015 as opposed to locking it down to any particular month? I mean, with the full understanding that the sooner the better, but...
Well, from a practical point of view, I would say April 1st. I mean, we can create Senator Bonhoeff. I know that through the legislature we can have read reports ahead of time, get some kind of ideas. We can have some placeholders. I mean, there's things that you can kind of do because I certainly do want to and respect that the need for the opportunity to get those business requirements and do that analysis. But I would say April 1st is about where you're getting into where we want to
have something.
April 1st. April 1st.
Okay.
Great. Other comments on this? General comments? Missed pieces? Thank you again. This was a good conversation. There's a lot of pieces here. It needs to be immediate action on a next draft back to you. A lot of back and forth, and then prepared in our meeting on the 30th to wordsmith the final and go. Thanks, everyone. Meeting adjourned. Please turn in your folders.